content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the Lyons District S newsletter for the month of May of 2024. And these are usually long newsletters from District S, so I've had to edit out a few of the articles in the interest of time. And I've only removed articles that have been repeated more than once. So here we go. Message from District Governor Dixon. It seems that my year as district governor has flown by. I have truly enjoyed visiting your clubs and meeting so many incredible Lions working to serve others. Our membership is up. Reporting service projects is getting there, even with the challenging new portal. Thank you to everyone that has managed to navigate through the system to file their reports. I am visiting clubs and inducting officers and new members. We are not finished yet. There is still work to be done. If you need my help, contact me, Jim, or Dwayne. We will work together to assist clubs with their inductions. Just a note about the opportunities that we all have to get together in the month of June. The awards and installation banquet will be on June 8, 2024, at the Zebulon Lions Club. Contact PDG Lion Barbara Beltran if you would like to join us. During this year, we have worked together as Lions in our communities with vision screenings, fundraisers, hunger drives, and tossed in some fellowship opportunities as well. Working together with our governor team, our clubs, and other districts, we have made a difference, broadening our responses to the needs of many. Lions and Leos built ramps for families, donated food, organized Easter egg hunts, brought awareness to color blindness in adults, and worked with children to detect vision challenges. If your club did not report any services that you provided, there is still time. We would love to help if you need it. You can contact me or Barbara Beltran for assistance. We really want to get information posted about our services and the clubs that provide the services. One of our May highlights was visiting the Lions Cottage at Lake Waccamaw. Lions, they really need our help. The cottage needs many repairs. District 31I, 31O, 31S, and 31N are working together to brainstorm about the possibility of writing a grant to get the ball rolling on funding this effort. The current district governors are planning to collaborate with the DGEs to move the project forward. Tommy and I would like to say a special thank you to the clubs that made us feel so welcome. It was truly wonderful to make so many new Lion friends. Even though my term as district governor is coming to an end, I will not go away. It is my plan to be an active PDG. I would like to say a special thank you for supporting me as your district governor. My new role for 2024-25 will be as second vice president of NCLF. It is exciting to continue serving our community, working together with the NCLF team to broaden our mission of serving others. Thank you for allowing me to serve our district. Roundup for NCLF. This is from the North Carolina Lions Foundation. Choose North Carolina Lions Foundation, Incorporated, to round up and donate your change when you check out at Walmart or on the Walmart app or at walmart.com. Walmart recently launched Walmart Spark Good Roundup, where customers can round up their purchases to the nearest dollar and donate the change to their favorite charity. We would love for you to choose us as your charity to receive these donations every time you shop on Walmart.com. For more information, go to www.walmart.com/sparkgood. Thank you for considering the North Carolina Lions Foundation, Inc. for Walmart Spark Good Roundup. NCLF Recycling Program. NCLF recycles hearing aid batteries, no cases or accessories, cell phones, no cases, accessories, or covers, batteries, button type or flat watch batteries, eyeglasses and sunglasses, no cases, contact lenses, or loose lenses, and reading glasses. For questions, contact Tammy Thomas at 828-478-2135, extension 229. Bingo bucks from Camp Dogwood. Bingo bucks are given to VIPs in lieu of prizes. VIPs are then available to exchange those bucks for souvenirs or snacks from the Camp Dogwood store. If you or your club would like to donate, send checks made out to NCLF with bingo bucks in the Membo line. There's no set amount requested. We will distribute all funds equally amongst all sessions. For more information or questions, contact Tammy Thomas at Tammy, that's Tammy with a Y, at nclf.org, or you can call 828-478-2135, extension 229. Freedom by Design celebrates with custom-designed outdoor learning center. This is by Christine Clock, dated April 25th, 2024. And this is from the North Carolina University, State University, I'm sorry, the NC State University College of Design. Students of the Governor Moorhead School, or GMS, celebrated the redesign of their new outdoor learning center in a ceremony on Thursday, April 11th, 2024, surrounded by community members, builders, and NC State students who contributed to the project's design and much of the labor, both in the shop and on the site. The project has been one of the most ambitious in the Freedom by Design Club, housed within the American Institute of Architects student chapter at NC State. Students in Freedom by Design are committed to designing and building solutions to community problems and have worked with teachers and administrators at the Governor Moorhead School to anticipate and account for student needs in this space. This project represents countless hours of meetings, volunteer services, designs, redesigns, and donated funds, said Melvin Diggs, director of the Governor Moorhead School. Every part, every shape is designed to help support our students' learning experience, to build confidence in themselves, to be empowered learners, seek out new challenges, and to be the successful citizens we know that they will be. The previous playground was inaccessible to the students, with only a slide, a small swing set, and some monkey bars. It included mulch, which was hard for the students to traverse. The new design specifically accounts for the visual impairment of the students at GMS, with high-contrast surface materials, a tactile sensory wall, a series of auditory chimes, a whisper tube, a bench swing, a spin station, a track with a banked curve, an edible garden, and much-needed shade and resting space. The resulting project cost over $120,000 to implement and was funded through building materials donations, local community groups such as the Raleigh Host Lions Club, a small grant from the North Carolina Youth Outdoor Engagement Commission, and from grassroots fundraising efforts. I want to acknowledge the students. This was built for you. We care about you. We want to be involved in your success, said Francisco Chavez, president of the Governor Moorhead Foundation. Mark Hoverston, dean of the College of Design, added that through projects like these, our students get to learn about how things are built, how to raise money, and how to work with people who have their own unique challenges and goals. It's our motto at NC State to think and do, and this is a great example of that. NC State students have poured their hearts and souls into every aspect of this project, collaborating with experts on the construction of the space, speaking with teachers to learn about individual student needs, and advocating within their communities to bolster funds and encourage donations from neighbors and community members alike. And there are some lovely photos accompanying this article with, looks like students and administrators and teachers celebrating with their hands raised in victory, and a couple of pictures of the actual playground. Looks lovely. In memory of PDG W.B. Bullock, July 30th, 1936 to April 24th, 2024. Rocky Mount. Willis Bunn, or W.B. Bullock, age 87, passed away on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Born in Martin County, North Carolina, on July 30, 1936, he was the son of the late Louis Albert Bullock and Beulah Cowan Bullock. He was also preceded in death by his brothers Louis Edward Bullock, Atung Ward Bullock, and Reverend Ralph Ross Bullock, his sisters Pauline Bullock Savage and Geraldine Bullock Donnell, and his brothers-in-law Nick Swinson and Lynn Smith. W.B. moved from Bear Grass to Rocky Mount in 1959. He worked at Davenport Motors for several years, parts and service, then sales. After that, he embarked on a career in the Toyota business for about 12 years. Following that, he was an insurance agent and broker for several years. During that time, he married the love of his life, and together they had three sons. W.B. was a longtime member of Englewood United Methodist Church. He was very active and served on many boards and committees, chairing many of them. He was also a certified lay speaker. When the local grocery store saw him coming, they knew he came to service the well-known EUMM peanuts. W.B. was elected and served on the Rocky Mount City Council, serving Ward 6 from 2002 until his retirement in 2022. Among other things, he served as chairperson in the committee to build the Rocky Mount Veterans Memorial at Jack Laurie Park. The memorial was dedicated on Veterans Day, November 11th of 2007. After serving in the U.S. Army, Army Reserves, and NC Army National Guard, W.B. retired with 42 years of dedicated service. They required him to retire at age 60. His rank at that time was Command Sergeant Major in the 230th Support Battalion, 30th Infantry Brigade. W.B. was a past president of the North Carolina National Guard Association. He was a member of the American Post 58 in Rocky Mount. He continued to serve the military community by advising and assisting veterans with various problems and assisted with military funerals and flag presentations. W.B.'s awards and decorations included Army Commendation Medal with Second Device, Army Achievement Medal with 4 Oak Leaf Clusters, National Defense Medal, Armed Forces Reserve Medal, U.S. Army Meritorious Service Award, and Presidential Unit Citation Award. As a member of the Rocky Mount Evening Lions Club, W.B. enjoyed the fellowship and working on many worthwhile projects. He was also a member and past Master Mason of Queen City Lodge No. 602. W.B. enjoyed dealing with people and talking with everyone. When he met a stranger, they were not a stranger for long. He had long-lasting friendships with his National Guard buddies, his golf buddies, and his weekly card buddies. A loving and beloved husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, brother, and dear friend to many, W.B. will be forever missed and never forgotten. W.B. is survived by his wife of 62 years, Maddie Jones Bullock, his sons Doug Bullock of Rocky Mount, Jeff Bullock of Hickory, and Bob Bullock and wife Jocelyn of Tacoma Park, Maryland. His grandchildren, Zach Bullock and wife Allison, Justin Bullock and Jacob Bullock, his great-grandson Decker Bullock, his sisters Elizabeth Lib Bullock Swinson, Nancy Bullock Shank, and husband Robert, and Janice Bullock Smith, special cousin Mike Bullock and wife Margaret, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. A celebration of W.B.'s life was held on Thursday, May 2nd of 2024 at 11 a.m. at Englewood United Methodist Church in Rocky Mount, Reverend Nathan Whitman officiating. The family received friends and relatives on Wednesday, May 1st at Wheeler and Woodley Funeral Home. A private family burial took place at Rocky Mount Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in W.B.'s memory to Englewood United Methodist Men, P.O. Box 7128, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, 27804. In memory of Jan C. Holloman, August 18th, 1943 to March 18th of 2024. Jan C. Holloman, age 80, passed away on Monday, March 18th of 2024. Born in Gaston County, North Carolina, on August 18, 1943, she was the daughter of the late Alton William Cooper and Jessie Elizabeth Harris Cooper. She was also preceded in death by her daughter, Elizabeth Dawn Holloman. Jan was a loving, kind person. That love and kindness was displayed in everything she did, especially in her career as a nurse of 30-plus years. Jan had a hobby as a photographer that opened the door for her to do photography for her family and friends. Jan enjoyed life, especially time spent with her grandchildren, which she loved very much. Jan also enjoyed spending time with her Yaya sisters. Jan is survived by her husband of 59 years, Charles Holloman, her sons William Chris Holloman of Lewisburg, and Stephen Craig Holloman of Knightdale. Her grandchildren, Autumn Holloman, Connor Holloman, Bryce Holloman, and Faith Holloman, and sister-in-law, Sissy Holloman. A special gathering of family and friends was held on March 22nd at the Wheeler and Woodleaf Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Jan's memory to Nashville Lions Club, 3317 Greenbrier Drive in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, 27804. Successful Food Drive at State Convention by Lion Bob Christensen. NC Lions District 31 held a successful food drive at the April 26th to 28th, 2024 State Convention in Greensboro. This food drive benefited the Urban Ministry of Greensboro Food Bank. We collected 585 pounds of donations, filling 7 large cartons. Donated items included canned goods, dry goods, and personal care items. We also collected $300 that was donated to the Urban Ministry to purchase produce and other perishable items. District 31S Awards and Installation Banquet. The District 31S Awards and Installation Banquet will be held on Saturday, June 8th of 2024 at 1 p.m. at the Zebulon Lions Club, 118 East Lee Street in Zebulon. The menu will be Swiss chicken and rice, baked ham, potato salad, marinated carrots, pasta salad, green beans, dinner rolls, tea, lemonade, water, and assorted desserts. I apologize. The food drive at the state convention, I cut off, not noticing that it was continued on the next page. So here we go on the food drive. This was the second food drive held during a state convention, and more than 35 clubs and individuals participated this year. We were also fortunate to receive 8 cases of toothpaste donated by Atlantic Dentistry of Kildouble Hills, North Carolina. Food insufficiency is greater than ever. Providing food to those in need is one of the 5 pillars of service of Lionisms. A special thanks to all those who contributed in any way to make this food drive successful. First Flight Lions to host Dare County VIP Support Group. The First Flight Lions Club will host a support group planning meeting for visually impaired individuals of Dare County. The event will take place at the First Flight Lions Club building at 2706 North Croatan Highway, Kildouble Hills, North Carolina, at 2 p.m. on June 12th of 2024. Club President Lion Angelo Sonesso would like to get a support group started in Dare County for the visually impaired neighbors and friends and families who may be interested. This meeting will be to discuss, plan, and hopefully implement this initiative. For questions, please contact Lion Angelo at 252-475-5848 or send an email to asonesso@gmail.com. The Garner Lions Club hosts Blood Drive. The Garner Lions Club will host a Red Cross blood drive on June 14, 2024 in the main room at 305 West Main Street in Garner from 1 to 6 p.m. Schedule your life-saving appointment at www.redcrossblood.org and enter the keyword Garner Lions. Suburban Living Magazine by Lion John Lind. Our speaker at a recent meeting was also our guest speaker in December of 2020. The topic and the venue were a bit different this time, though. Back then, it was an online meeting, and the topic was on ghostwriting. Currently, Amy Laurie is the editor-in-chief at Suburban Living Magazine. Amy is a graduate of Apex High School and has a degree from the University of North Carolina School of Linguistics. She has more than 30 years of experience as a freelance writer, including having written the memoirs of Colonel Hal Shook. In 2016, she received her first copy of Suburban Living Magazine and read it cover to cover. Having found a few errors, she wrote a letter to the editor offering her expertise to help edit articles. A relationship was formed and eventually led us to where she is today. She began as a writer for the magazine, and her first two stories were on the renovation of Apex High School and the Apex Prom Shop run by the Apex United Methodist Church. Currently, she has published more than 85 stories. As the magazine grew, she took on more of a proofing and editing role rather than writing herself. By 2020, they were getting more organized and needed to find stories. So she took on that role as well, which eventually led her to becoming the editor-in-chief. Suburban Living Magazine is published every other month in Apex and Fuquay-Varina and quarterly in Holly Springs. This means there are almost always publishing deadlines looming for at least one of the editions and some tight schedules. It is an independently owned and operated magazine, so they do their best to select stories very carefully. The subjects are focused on local activities such as youth, seasonal, feel-good, finance, pets, fitness, cooking, and recipes, and the like. The magazine is freely distributed and is paid for by advertisements, yet they still strive to keep the ratio of content to advertisements as high as possible. Amy also shared some details about the number of copies printed and distributed in each town, as well as some of the complexity of the production schedules. Suburban Living Magazine also publishes the Apex Chamber Magazine for the Apex Chamber of Commerce. After her presentation, the members had quite a few questions, which led to healthy discussion. It is clear that Amy is very passionate about her work and the magazine. We enjoyed hearing all about it. We all learned something. All three editions of Suburban Living Magazine are also available online. Apex Lions Peak Fest. This is also by Lion John Lind. The weather held off, and we had a fantastic Peak Fest on Saturday, May 4th of 2024. We performed a total of 56 free eye screenings and had 7 referrals. While speaking with people as they strolled past the tent, several people said they had already been screened at Touch a Truck, too. In addition to the free eye screenings, we also sold popcorn, cold drinks, and brooms. In fact, we managed to sell more than enough to cover our expenses, which is always a good thing. We also invited a number of people to attend our next meeting on May 16th to consider joining our club. It was a long day, but a good one for our club. We got a lot of good public exposure and promoted Lionism in Apex. And here's another obituary in memory of Joseph Homer Styron, Sr. April 1934 to April 28th, 2024. Joseph Homer Styons, Sr., age 90, of Elizabeth City, North Carolina, peacefully passed away on April 28th, 2024, at his home. He was born on April 17, 1934, in Plymouth, North Carolina, to the late Joseph Christopher Styons and Bessie Adelaide Hardison Styons. Homer was a 1952 graduate of Plymouth High School and a 1956 graduate of Roanoke Bible College. Homer was a minister of God who served at Colonial Heights Church of Christ in Norfolk, Virginia, Mount Pleasant Christian Church in Greenville, North Carolina, St. Clair's Church of Christ in Bath, North Carolina, Gretna Church of Christ, Gretna, Virginia, and Elizabeth City Church of Christ in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. He helped establish the Eastern North Carolina Christian Men's Fellowship, now the church planters of ENC, for starting New Testament churches and ministered at Stony Brook Church of Christ, Wilson, North Carolina. He began a new church, Sunrise Church of Christ, in Kildevil Hills, North Carolina, and retired from there. Later, he also preached at Belvedere Ryland Church of Christ in Ryland, North Carolina. His last sermon was preached on October 22, 2023, at Journey Christian Church at the age of 89. Homer was also active in the Lions Club of Elizabeth City and served as the District Cabinet Secretary Treasurer of 31J for the Lions Club from 1987 to 88. He also taught personal evangelism classes at Roanoke Bible College and coached the men's basketball team. He is survived by his beloved wife of 68 years, Peggy Warren Stiens, his daughters, Sherry Hill of Washington, North Carolina, Debbie Grant of Grandy, North Carolina, and Jackie Willard of Belhaven, North Carolina, his son, Joey Stiens of Jarvisburg, North Carolina, his brother, Wade Stiens of Roper, North Carolina, grandchildren, Jimmy Hendricks, Mandy Batts, Chris Willard, Jason Willard, Jessica Falk, Danielle Stiens, Ryan Stiens, Angel Stiens, Chris Stiens, and Nikki Stiens. Bonus grandchildren, Carolyn Grant, William Grant, and Andrew Grant, and great-grandchildren, Eli, Anna, JT, Connor, Silas, Ariel, Savannah, Lydia, Landon, Destiny, Jaslyn, Anthony, and Jenna. Homer was preceded in death by his parents, Joseph Christopher Stiens and Bessie Adelaide Hardison Stiens, as well as his sister Mildred Stiens Edwards, and two brothers, Cecil Bray Stiens and Melvin Douglas Stiens. A funeral service to honor Homer's life was held at 11 o'clock on Saturday, May 4th, at Journey Christian Church, formerly the Elizabeth City Church of Christ, in Elizabeth City, with Steve Hill and Mark Willard, Jr. officiating. In lieu of flowers, the family invites you to contribute to Church Planters of ENC at http://churchplantersenc.org. And here is a page full of fundraising data. And this is the results as of May 30th of 2024. On the Brighter Visions Fund Drive, so far the total that has been collected is $455,532 against the goal of $625,100. So that is 73% of the current goal. The Camp Dogwood Raffle. There's only 10 days left in this raffle, according to this paper. And the goal, sales last year totaled to $103,335.70. And this year so far, there's $100,338.20. And lastly, the Clinical Eye Research Goal. The annual goal is $5,000. And so far, with all the districts accounted for, they have raised over that, $7,903. And here's a page full of pictures from some recent activities from Brian Lynn. Sometimes you just need to take a break and relax a little. Once a year, in May, we do that. So we had our family picnic at Apex Nature Park instead of our normally scheduled meeting. And there's a picture of tons of people sitting around some picnic tables under a shelter enjoying what I'm sure is a delicious meal. And then there are some pictures of the Wake Forest Lions Club performing their annual Memorial Day raising of flags, the American and the POW flag, at the roundabouts in downtown Wake Forest. And pictured there were Lions Jim Tobolsky, George Coleman, Glenn Day, and Ken Jenkins. And as if you didn't already know it, here's an article on the North Carolina Reading Service. This is by Lion Bill Graham. We have been working on a project to get all of our North Carolina district newsletters read on the North Carolina Reading Service. The North Carolina Reading Service can be a great tool. There is a wide variety of material related to North Carolina, in addition to the Lions Club's International Lion Magazine and the district newsletters. Making this information available to Lions, seniors, and others with vision problems will be a great community service. My experience in listening to your district newsletter being read by NCRS volunteer Julie Eldridge was like having a friend read it to me. For the first time in 5 years, I have been able to listen to almost all of the District 31S newsletter. For more information on the North Carolina Reading Service, call 919-832-5138 or email info@ncreadingservice.org. The North Carolina Reading Service has been operating as a 501c3 nonprofit serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. Located in Raleigh, North Carolina, the service, founded by North Carolina State Professor Dr. Ed Funkhauser and Raleigh businessman Ben Eason, provides news and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. NCRS provides quality programming with daily broadcasts of the News and Observer and USA Today. They also include newspapers from eastern North Carolina, including the New Bern Sun Journal, Greenville Daily Reflector, and Wilmington Star News. Listeners can also enjoy special programs such as North Carolina Symphony Notes, Salute a Veteran Every Day, and Legal Matters, just to name a few. NCRS fills a vital role in replacing isolation with connections. In addition to people with vision impairment, they also reach out to a growing population of people, both children and adults, with print disabilities. Print disabilities include anything that prevents someone from being able to easily access printed materials. This may be due to arthritis, stroke, MS, ALS, learning disabilities, or literary challenges. Volunteers are the foundation of NCRS. Last year, more than 150 volunteers contributed more than 9,000 hours to NCRS as readers and recorders, technical support, fundraising, community outreach, and administrative support. If you are interested in becoming a volunteer, there is an application included in the newsletter. Once NCRS receives your application, they will contact you to schedule a tour of NCRS and a brief audition and interview with the Executive Director, Matron. If accepted, you'll go through formal training, including observations with current readers and learning to use the equipment. If you are bilingual and fluent in Spanish, NCRS has volunteer opportunities to read Que Pasa newspapers on Saturdays. Que Pasa is a live broadcast entirely in Spanish from our Raleigh studio from 12 to 1 p.m. every Saturday. The minimum age to volunteer at NCRS is 18. There is a one-year commitment requirement for volunteers. Typically, a new volunteer reader will read about one or two shifts a month. Besides reading, there are volunteer opportunities in marketing and public relations, on the NCRS New Visions Gala Committee, office assistance, and help with annual mailings. Leader Dogs for the Blind receives matching funds. I'm excited to share that two generous donors have contributed $45,000 in addition to the $54,000 offered by Chief Financial Credit Union, giving us a total of $99,000 in matching funds. That means for a little while longer, every dollar received by May 31st will be matched dollar for dollar to double its impact. These two donors have contributed from their IRAs and donor-advised funds. If you have an IRA, wish to contribute a gift of stock, or use your donor-advised fund, you can also take advantage of this matching gift opportunity that way. With your support, we can make more perfect matches like Juanita L. and Resi B. Juanita has always been legally blind, though she has significantly more vision than when she was younger. She came to Leader Dogs for the Blind as a teenager for Teen summer camp, and later took part in our Orientation and Mobility, or O&M, program. When Juanita decided she wanted a guide dog, she chose Leader Dog because of her experience as a youth here. I haven't worked with a guide dog for several months, and I love working with one again, Juanita says. It's just phenomenal. It definitely is exciting, emotional, and nerve-wracking when you meet your new dog. But Resi B is the perfect match for me. She's resilient and ready to work. No matter how you give today, your support will go twice as far to help us make more perfect matches. And that's by Melissa Weiss, the president and CEO of Leader Dogs for the Blind. And along with this article is a lovely picture of Juanita L. and her dog, Resi B, looking happy, and they look like great friends. Kindness Matters Service Awards. This prestigious award is given annually to a handful of Lions and Leo clubs for performing an outstanding service project in one of our global cause areas. Nominated at the club level, the Kindness Matters Service Award is a challenge for Lions and Leos to develop exceptionally innovative and creative service projects with the aim of leaving a positive impact in their communities. Below, you'll find more information of how some of the 2022-23 winners' service projects. Award criteria. For clubs to be eligible, they must be in active status, have completed a service project that meets the needs of a cause area, and have reported it. Use the following criteria to determine if a service project could be considered for this award. Addresses needs within Lions International Global Causes, diabetes, environment, vision, childhood cancer, hunger, disaster relief, youth, and humanitarian. Demonstrates creativity and innovation. Achieves impact of scale and long-term sustainability. And elevates the Lions brand. So the nomination timeline for 2024-25, the deadline is October 31st. Nominations happen in a particular order, starting with local Lions, then club service chairpersons and Leo club presidents, to the global service team at the district and multiple district level, and then finally Lions International. See when nominations are due for the various positions. All nominations should be submitted electronically to serviceactivities@lionsclub.org. After they've been endorsed and signed by the appropriate positions, Lions International will not accept physical applications. So from July 1st to August 15th of 2024, the Lions nominate service projects. From August 15th to September 15th of 2024, club service chairpersons and Leo club presidents send one signed nomination to the District Global Service Team, or DGST, coordinator. Then from September 15th to October 31st, DGST coordinator sends one signed nomination to the Multiple District GST coordinator. On October 31st of 2024, nominations close. The deadline for MDGST coordinator to send one signed nomination to Lions International and copy the multiple council chairperson. Then, in January of 2025, winning clubs are selected by the Lions International Board of Directors Service Activities Committee and notified. And in March of 2025, the winning clubs receive their award from Lions International. Here's an article about how to make your club family-friendly. Why make your club family-friendly? Adding younger Lions brings new ideas and perspectives that can energize your club. Their children will grow into the next generation of Lion leaders as they develop their skills and passion. And best of all, more Lions means more service. To encourage families to join and serve together, we offer a 50% discount on international dues for up to 4 family members who live in the same household and join the same club as a full-paying member. Family membership is a wonderful way for families to spend quality time together while serving their community. So, find out how you can make your club more family-friendly. friendly using the resources below. Learn best practices for incorporating younger volunteers into your practice, and get tips for accommodating families' busy schedules and more. And there are a couple of links to tips on how to make your club more family friendly. Vision for Change, Addressing Eye Health Challenges. In Pakistan, there are 570,000 adults grappling with blindness due to cataracts. This is the most common cause of avoidable blindness in the country, with 51.5% of the blind community burdened with it. Additionally, 11.77% of citizens in Pakistan have type 2 diabetes mellitus, with 29% of those people experiencing diabetic retinopathy, an eye condition that can cause vision loss and blindness in people who have diabetes. Lyons saw the magnitude of this problem in Pakistan and knew it needed to be addressed. The Lyons of District 305N2 received a Sight First grant of $131,463 from Lions Clubs International Foundation to develop infrastructure and expand diagnostic and treatment services for cataracts, uncorrected refractive errors, and diabetic retinopathy at the Hospital of Khyber Eye Foundation, or KEF. KEF was established as a charitable hospital in 1998. On average, KEF examines approximately 54,000 outpatients, organizes 18 outreach camps, and performs cataract surgeries on 5,500 individuals each year. Approximately 8,000 people with diabetes are examined and managed by their medical specialist or diabetologist each year. In addition, KEF monitors glaucoma patients and performs glaucoma surgeries. Each year, KEF also diagnoses approximately 900 patients with glaucoma, performs multiple surgeries, and offers treatment using topical eye drops. KEF is also dedicated to addressing these illnesses at an early age to ensure children are not burdened with the stress of vision problems. They run a school-based screening program for children ages 6 to 10. The program includes free eye exams to identify refractive errors and other eye conditions, free eyeglasses, referrals to KEF for students in need of further treatment, and education on avoidable blindness and personal hygiene. KEF has an optical workshop that provides a range of prescriptions for school children and paying individuals with URE. Between 2008 and 2016, KEF performed 17,118 refraction assessments and distributed 12,402 spectacles. Last year, 80% of patients who received cataract surgery had good outcomes, so Lyons are hoping to expand on that success to serve more people in Pakistan. The LCIF grant will enable Lyons to purchase the equipment necessary to conduct eye exams and treat cataracts, URE, and DR. This includes a new argon laser, since KEF's current one has not been functional for the last 3 years, and will allow staff to reinstate laser treatments for DR patients. With this investment in equipment, Lyons will ensure tens of thousands of people across the country never suffer from vision loss. And here's a message from LCIF by Brian E. Sheehan, chairperson of Lyons Clubs International Foundation. As we prepare to close this Lion year, I want to again express my sincere thanks to everyone who supported LCIF so far this year. We set ambitious fundraising goals, and I am proud to say we are making excellent progress. We have some work to do in these last few months, so please continue to make your individual and club donations to our foundation and help us succeed in reaching our goal. We will announce the final number raised during the 106th Lions International Convention in Melbourne, and I am sure we will be amazed by Lions and Leo's generosity. I am thrilled to announce that LCIF is well on its way to achieving this year's stretch fundraising goal because of the awesome generosity of those of you who have donated this fiscal year. Although we've made excellent progress, we need your help to push us through to the finish line by making your personal and club donations, hosting a fundraiser, and encouraging others to give to LCIF. Less than 1 month remains before I have the sincere pleasure of announcing our total funds raised during the second plenary session at the annual convention in Melbourne. I am truly looking forward to celebrating our successes together and sharing the worldwide impact of our collective service made possible through our foundation. Every donation brings us closer to achieving our goals while continuing to enable us to change lives of people who need our help by providing for immediate needs after a natural disaster, feeding children facing food insecurity, helping hospitals improve facilities to treat vision impairment, or serving in so many other ways. We are truly making a difference in the world together with our Global Foundation. My sincere thanks to everyone who supports LCIF financially and as an ambassador for the work we do together. Make a great day. And here's an item about the Bark and Brew 5K. This is an event for the Leader Dogs for the Blind and sponsored by Chief Financial Credit Union. Kick off your summer with our 8th annual Bark and Brew presented by Chief Financial Credit Union. This event is for the whole family. Enjoy famous Rochester Mills brews, delicious food, live music throughout the day, including Chris Meldrum, classic rock and country, and the Killer Flamingos, dance and party music, a kids zone with inflatables, carnival games, rock climbing wall, and more. You'll meet some of our adorable future leader dogs in training. This will happen Saturday, June 8th, 2024, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Rochester Mills Beer Company at 400 Water Street, Rochester, Minnesota, I guess. Adult admission reduced this year as a thank you to our patrons. The event, the Bark and Brew event ticket, is $5. The kids' play area wristband is included in the admission price. And there's a dog VIP package for $30. Limited number are available at that. It's rain or shine, no refunds or exchanges. And to protect the health of leader dogs and future leader dogs at the event, personal dogs are not allowed. You can get your tickets at https://secure.qgiv.com/4/4/Barbara Draw/event/BarkBrew2024/info. Sorry. The 5K 1 mile includes free entry to the Leader Dogs Bark and Brew event taking place after the run walk at the Rochester Mills Beer Company. Participants will receive a race t-shirt, a mug medal with bottle opener, a race bib, a pint glass, and a coupon for a free age-appropriate beverage at the Bark and Brew event. After completing your race, head over to the Bark and Brew event site in downtown Rochester to redeem your free beverage coupon. Have your non-running friends and family join you at the Bark and Brew event and continue the fun throughout the day. So only service animals are allowed on the 5K race course. Leader dog puppy raisers can participate with their future leader dog, and breeding hosts can participate with their breeding stock dog in the 1 mile run only. And here is a page full of guide dogs, myths, and truths. This is from Leader Dogs for the Blind blog. Today we're going to talk about guide dogs, those amazing four-legged companions who help people with visual impairments get around. There are a lot of myths and misconceptions out there about these incredible dogs, so we're going to sort through the facts and fiction. Myth number one. All guide dogs are the same breed. Truth. There are a few breeds that are commonly used as guide dogs, like Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, and German Shepherds, but other breeds can be trained as well. In fact, some guide dogs are crosses between multiple breeds. At Leader Dog, we use the three most common guide dog breeds, as well as crossbred Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, and German Shepherd Labrador Retrievers. Myth number two, guide dogs are always, quote, on duty. Truth. Guide dogs are definitely trained to work when they're in harness with their handlers, but they also need time to relax and play. When they're not working, leader dogs are just dogs, running around, playing, and snuggling with their people. Myth number three, you can pet a guide dog whenever you want. Truth, this one is definitely a myth. When a guide dog is working, they're focused on their job and need to pay attention to their handler and their surroundings. So it's important to never distract a guide dog by petting them, talking to them, or making eye contact with them. It's okay to ask their handler if you can say hi to the dog, but always wait for their permission before interacting with the dog. Myth number four. Guide dogs know where they're going all the time. Truth. While guide dogs are trained to lead their handlers safely through different environments, they don't always know exactly where they're going. Instead, they're trained to follow specific cues from their handlers like forward, left, and right to stop at curbs or obstacles. It's up to the handler to give the dog directions and let them know where they want to go. And myth number five, guide dogs can only help people who are completely blind. Truth, this one is also a myth. Guide dogs can help people with a wide range of visual impairments, from total blindness to partial vision loss. Leader dog requires our clients to be legally blind, but many of our clients have some remaining vision. So there you have it. Some common myths and truths about guide dogs. These amazing dogs are trained to help their handlers live more independent lives, and they do an incredible job. And remember, if you see a guide dog out in public, give them plenty of space and respect for their important work. And finally, a note from Dr. Patty Hill, president of Lions Clubs International from 2023 to 2024. Dear Lion, I believe that the power to make the world a better place is in our hands. Our impact is what makes being a lion so special. Every small act of service creates a personal impact, and the collective impact of our kindness can change the world forever. That's why changing the world is my message to lions and to the world. Changing the world begins with us. It begins when we change the lives of the people we serve and find ourselves changed as well. It grows when we change our communities by bringing them to the table and inviting them to become the change they wish to see. It multiplies when we show the world that real change is truly possible and that lions are changing the world. One life, one relationship, and one community at a time. Serving as your international president is an incredible honor. You and I, together, can make a difference. Let's be bold and lead the way forward to a better future and a world of change. You and your fellow lions serve your community at the local level, but never forget that you are part of an incredible global network of dedicated volunteers who are united in our mission of service. Together, you are changing people's lives for the better every day all around the world. There is strength in numbers. Throughout my 34 years of service, I've always been grateful for the close teamwork and friendships that I've experienced volunteering alongside my fellow lions. When you become a lion, you also become a leader. Lions and Leos lead their communities in service and bring people together to achieve greater outcomes than we can alone. Every time you invite a new member or we charter a new club, more people are helped and more communities are served. We are making a tremendous impact all over the world thanks to your leadership. We're almost at the end of the Lion year, and I've been so fortunate to meet many of you during my travels. I experienced firsthand one of our association's greatest strengths, the diversity of our membership and service. For over 100 years, Lions have opened their arms to the world and embraced new people, projects, and ideas. We provide eyeglasses to those with low vision, welcome displaced people to our communities, care for the elderly, and so much more. As Lions, we don't just accept the status quo. We innovate to meet the ever-changing needs of our communities. Let's continue to find new ways of supporting all people who need us and inviting all people who want to join us in service. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of the Lion Newsletter. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The Lion Newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 812-913-5138. Again, 919-832-5138. And we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.